You're listening to The Joe Cortez Show, Fair But Firm, with co-host John Zimmo.
I'm fair, but I'm firm.
No doubt in my mind, the best referee I've ever seen in the history of the sport.
Well, this is the man you call the best referee in the sport, George, so if anybody can do it, he can.
I'm fair, but firm. One thing about Joe, he's fair, but he's firm.
Guys, I'm fair, but I'm firm.
Hi, this is Joe Cortez with the Fair But Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world, along with my sidekick, John Zimmel.
Yes, sir.
Hey, John, listen, Saturday night, we had two great events, one from Texas, one from California. Let's go with the one in California. Mikey Garcia,
yes,
who fought a great fight against
Sergey Lipinets.
Sergey Lipinets. It was a great fight.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, Mikey Garcia now has four titles in four different weight divisions.
That's amazing.
And I tell you, I feel like he's somebody to reckon. He reminded me a lot about Manny Pacquiao. In a sense, Manny Pacquiao won eight championships in eight different divisions. But now Mikey Garcia is on the right track. He's still young.
Yeah.
He has a lot of talent.
He's talking about 147. He says he wants to do five.
Yeah, but he may want to go back. He says and unify the lightweight championship.
Yeah.
And
That's what I think he should do.
Well, and that'd be a good thing for him to do. You know, he has a guys lined up there that I think can give him a great fight.
And I think, I don't mean to skip ahead the show, but I think after the Lomachenko fight, which we already know who he's fighting, we're about to announce that in a second.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
After that happens, I think Lomachenko's next opponent that makes the most sense and makes the most money is probably going to be Mikey Garcia.
Exactly. But now you got Lomachenko is set to fight
Jorge
Linares in Madison Square Garden, and that's coming up May 12th.
Yes, sir.
In New York City. So it's a lot of changes there. But, you know, a lot of these fighters that are lined up with Al Haymon, you have a lot of these fighters already tied in with him. And Mikey Garcia going to find himself short because Al Haymon are going to have these guys fighting one another. But that's what the fans want to see.
The promoters always, you know, they have their place in boxing for sure. I mean, look at Mikey Garcia took 2 years off just because of his last situation with the promoter.
Yeah.
Just makes it tough, man.
Yeah, he was out for 2 years, and I tell you, a lot of people thought he wasn't going to have it. He came back.
He came back stronger than ever, man.
Yeah, he looked good. And
he did.
And he's still developing. He has his brother, former lightweight champion Robert Garcia, is also his trainer. And then you got his father is also involved, who's training, working in the corner. But Robert Garcia is doing a great job working with his younger brother.
If you were his manager and you were only looking out for his best interest, right, not as a fan, just as a manager, would you rather him stay down, keep dominating the 135, unify all those divisions, possibly have a big Lomachenko matchup, or would you have him go up and swim with those Sharks at 147 and have the Spence, Thurman, Porter, Crawford matchups, Horn, that await him up there? There's money on both sides. I'm just curious what you would do.
Well, you know, you have to stop and think about his weight. Only he knows, and his trainer, Robert Garcia, his brother, know if he has issues with the weight situation, then I recommend he goes up to 147. He has no issues. Make it 135.
No.
Then I say, take all those guys you can at 135, that's the lightweight division.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it is a business.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're only getting older as every fight goes by. So maybe it'd be better that he goes up to 147 and makes as much money as he can because he's already a four-time world champion. What else does he have to prove at a lighter division?
Exactly.
You know? So I would say, you know, go for a fifth title and where the money's at, I would balance it out. I think 147 is the way to go.
Who do you think he should fight at welterweight? Like, let's say his next fight, he wants welterweight. He wants that title. We all know who has those titles. Well, Thurman's got two.
Yeah.
Spence has one, and Horn has one.
Yeah, I would go with Horn first.
Well, Horn might not have his after that. So what if it's Crawford?
Well, if it's Crawford, not talking about Crawford and Horn, that fight would cancel here in Vegas.
Well, postponed,
it was postponed April 14th. Crawford hurt his hand.
Yeah.
So now the fight is up in the air.
Either May 19th, they say, or early June.
Yeah, we don't know yet. So what's going to happen? The thing is that what's the best thing for Mikey Garcia? Yeah, he's going to fight. He can't. Well, like you said, Crawford is going to fight Horn.
Jeff Horn, yeah.
And Horn's most likely going to get beat because to
probably,
me,
yeah.
Everybody knows that Terrence Crawford is probably pound for pound the best welterweight or fighter in the world today. Never mind welterweight in the world.
Yeah, he's up there for sure.
Yeah, but you know you got Keith Thurman in there. Keith Thurman says
Keith Thurman's a two time two. You know, he's a twofer, a unified champ.
Yeah, yeah. But it's going to be the welterweight division right now is so hot. There's so much going on there, And I think that these guys are going to really give it a lot for the fans. Now, we also remember we got to talk a little bit of Spanish because some fans,
yes,
some fans out there that hablan español y dicen, ¿qué es lo que están hablando estos gringos aquí? You know, so let's say we'll talk a little bit, un poquito de español. Estamos hablando de la pelea de Mickey García, el peleo sábado pasado contra este muchacho, Quick, Sergio Lipinex. Y Sergio Lipinex es un boxeador que vino bien fuerte para esa pelea, era una tremenda pelea. Además, Mickey García salió con una pelea difícil, pero ganó el cuatro títulos, ya son las 140 libres, ya tiene cuatro títulos en su carrera ganada, y eso muy poco boxeadores llegan a conquistar cuatro coronas. Y pienso que Mickey García ahora tiene, ¿qué va a hacer en el futuro? ¿Qué oponente tiene? ¿Se quedan a 135 libras o sigue para las 147, donde hay más dinero? Y hay que ver el peso de él. Si no tiene problema haciendo el peso 135, pues es bueno que fuera para atrás y haga una pelea para unificar los títulos. Pero donde está el dinero es con el peso welter en estos momentos. So I say, John, that you know, the welterweight division, that's where the money's at right now.
Oh, yeah. It's probably the most exciting division in the sport right now.
Exactly. But besides the super flyweights.
Super flyweights, man. Yeah, that's where the whole show is right now. That's okay. Everything super flyweight.
I mean, you know, you start looking at all divisions, and you say welterweight, the division, welterweight, what all the happening is that. But you got the super flyweight. You got the lightweights. You got the heavyweights.
Let's talk about the biggest fight of the year and last year is middleweight. You got two guys in the top 5 pound for pound at middleweight. So, I mean, yeah, you can kind of point all over boxing and say this is where it lives.
But este año va a ser un año tremendo para el boxeo. It's going to be a good year for boxing.
Oh, it already has been, man. People were just talking about how, like, what a good year it's been. I was just reading on the internet, and it was saying after 2017, people were expecting a big letdown. But, I mean, we already got a Lomachenko fight announced. Crawford probably will fight twice this year. Lomachenko will fight twice this year, if not three times. We have, the heavyweight division that's finally going to have a unified champion by the end of it if everything goes well. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a welterweight division. Again, we're saying we have Danny Garcia. We have Terrence Crawford, Keith Thurman.
Yes, and, Errol Spence.
Errol Spence. Manny Pacquiao is still there, but yeah, Manny Pacquiao is ready to say goodbye. He's at the door. The door is open. He's ready. He doesn't know whether to go in or go out.
Sean Porter.
Yeah. Sean Porter's a guy we're not talking about lately, but you know.
But you should. Yeah, he's good still.
He gave Keith Thurman a hell of a fight the year before last.
Exactly.
And he was already a world champion, and he's hungry to come back. His wife had a baby last month, so he said, "Joe, I wanna get that championship for my little girl." So
that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that you don't talk about him as much. I don't think he's as good as those other guys, but he could beat them at any given chance, you know, any given night. So
he puts a pressure and he can punch.
Exactly.
You know, so now Saturday night, also now in the, from Carson, California, you had Oscar Valdez Scott Quigg. Now that was a hell of a fight. La pelea el sábado pasado también, Oscar Valdez que peleó contra Scott Quigg en California, fue una tremenda pelea, una pelea que ambos boxeadores salieron lastimados, tuvieron que ir al hospital. La mandíbula de Oscar Valdez, una fractura, y you know, he had a fractured jaw.
Oh my God, the winner had a fractured jaw. People out there who they you know, they miss the old days of boxing, the brutality. You watch a fight like this, it's like a time machine. Nothing's gone away. You had a broken nose versus a broken jaw. You saw the loser the next day. He looked like he got beat up, like in the street. He had two black eyes, a broken nose. You saw the winner the next day. And he had a broken jaw and he could barely open his mouth.
Imagine that was a winner.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He was a winner.
They both went to the ER, right?
Yeah, they both went to UCLA for.
Oh my gosh.
CAT scans. They had stitches on the eyes.
That's horrible. I mean, and you won.
Oscar Valdez had to probably wire up his jaw. I mean, you know,
and let's not forget that if Scott Quigg had won that fight, he wouldn't have gotten the belt because he weighed in 3 pounds over.
Exacto.
So on top of everything else.
En el peso, en ese peso de Oscar Valdez, Scott Quigg vino 3 libras sobre el peso. O sea, que si hubiese ganado la pelea, el título se queda vacante porque no hubiese quitado la corona. Hay el castigo en el boxeo, es que no hace el peso, la pelea sigue, pero no hay el título no está. en la mesa, pero tampoco, y también tuvo que pagar 20% de su salario. He had to pay 20% of his purse.
Yeah.
As a penalty. You know, you have to believe he only made $100,000. We say only $100,000 because in most
but
fights.
But let's be honest, yeah, that really is a small amount given the kind of fighting that we're talking about here. Exactly. I mean, we're talking about prize fighting.
So imagine that kind of fight is worth $10 million, $20 million. Yeah. You only got $100,000 for Quig.
Exactly. Exactly. And you broke your nose doing it.
Probably going to be the toughest. But una pelea más difícil para.
Fighting for no championship. You end up with a broken nose and less money.
Exacto.
Oh, my God.
No hubiera la corona, no estaba en la mesa porque. Luis el peso, he didn't make the weight.
I think a lot of fans forget that weight aspect when it goes into it. There's that kind of penalties when it comes to making weight.
You know, $100,000 purse is nothing compared to what the fighters are really like. Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, they make $20 million, $30 million.
Yeah.
Una pelea, posiblemente la pelea del año, y solamente ganan $100,000 y... Oscar Valdez posiblemente un poco más, pero...
But when you're only making six figures, man, and not to downplay it, because I would love to make six figures, but when you're only making $100,000, that 20% is a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money.
Well, you know, back in the days, los tiempos de antes, they only had, these fighters were only making $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $100,000 for the middleweight championship of the world. And that was back in the days. Now they're making good money, these fighters.
Yeah, they are. They are. And it's good for them because, you know, they should.
Well, you know, you got the pay-per-view and you got the HBO, Showtime.
Yeah.
And all that. So
look, I always feel like if the money's there and the money is there, then it should go to the people out there risking their lives. You know what I mean? Instead of the, you know, people who aren't.
Right, exactly. So what's going to happen with the heavyweight division now? The heavyweight division, we have Anthony Joshua. And we're looking at Joseph Parker.
Yeah.
That's happening March 31st.
That's going to be exciting. That'll be the second time since Mike Tyson and Leon Spinks that we've had two fighters who were both both heavyweights and both undefeated fighting in a fight with a belt on the line.
Leon Spinks did not have the championship belt. Leon Spinks was only a fighter, had like seven fights when he fought Muhammad Ali.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Was it Michael Spinks?
Yeah. Michael Spinks.
And I'm sorry.
Michael Spinks had the heavyweight champion, and so was
Tyson, right?
He fought Tyson, right?
Yeah, they were both undefeated, and that hadn't happened until 2 weeks ago when Luis Ortiz and Deontay Wilder fought.
Yeah.
And now we get to see it again in 2 weeks from now. We're pretty spoiled as boxing fans right now. 2018, we have two heavyweight undefeated boxing matchups back to back in a row. It's pretty unbelievable.
Bueno, estamos viendo la pelea de los pesos completos, que ya saben que es una división que en el tiempo de antes era el cinturón más grande en el boxeo. Heavyweight champion was the biggest thing in boxing, you know.
Yeah.
And now you got all these lighter fighters, lightweights, flyweights, welterweights, middleweights. Pero los pesos completos, hay mucha acción. Viene marzo 31, viene de Inglaterra, Anthony Joshua va a pelear contra Joseph Parker para un título. Joseph Parker tiene el título de la OMB y Anthony Joshua tiene el título de WBA and IBF.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting.
It is. It is a lot of belts on the line, man. You're going to have Anthony Joshua's closet's going to have to make room for another belt when he's done with it. He's going to have a whole belt area. He's going to have four of them.
You know, when we talk to the fans, talking about it, IBF, WBA, WBC, WBO. You know, it's like the fans saying, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, it's true, though.
I mean, there's so many divisions, so many titles, and the people, then you got the super, they got the silver championship.
Oh, yeah.
The Intercontinental, the USBA, the NABF.
The super.
Man, I tell you, there's so many, it's like the alphabet soup.
Exactly, there's belts for everything.
Man, there's a belt for my grandmother. You know, there's
exactly.
Everybody has a belt here, man.
It is confusing, man, and it's strange. And I think it turns some casual fans off. But it's as long as you remember that you know they're fighting. There's two men fighting in the ring in the round circle, sweet science, the whole thing. I think if you don't worry about the belt so much, and you just it's like if you're getting in there, you deserve a belt. If you're willing to fight against somebody at that caliber that has one, then you deserve a trophy for it. So.
Okay, we're back here on the air with talking about fights that are coming up. We have Lomachenko and Linares.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fight that the fans really want to see. I always thought that Linares was an outstanding fighter. I'm hablando de Lomachenko que pelea con Jorge Linares en Nueva York. And that's 12 de mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be interesting fight, very interesting fight, John.
Yeah, I'm excited, man.
I mean, you know, Linares comes in with a record of 44-3 with 27 big knockouts.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, Lomachenko only has a...
What is it, 10-1 with 8 knockouts?
Yeah, that's it. You know, estamos hablando de la pelea de Linares y Lomachenko. Esta pelea va a ser en Nueva York, en Madison Square Garden. Ya sabemos, Linares, campeón de la WBA, y tiene un récord de 44 ganadas, 3 derrotas y 27 para vía de knockout. Y Lomachenko solamente tiene 11 peleas. Una derrota, esta fue contra Salido, y 8 por la vía de cloroforma.
I'll tell you, this guy is in his 12th fight, and he has the opportunity to be a three-weight world champion in 12 fights.
That's unheard of.
It really is unheard of. We were talking about Lipinets last week, the guy who just fought Garcia, and he was a world champion in 13 fights, but that was one weight, and that was insane. This guy has his 12th fight, and he's going for his third weight world championship. There's already people talking about him as an all-timer. I mean, this is, it's exciting. It's an exciting career to follow.
It is, you know. And talking about careers and whatnot, we have a friend out there, Peter Wilson, who's with the Wilson One Insurance. He's always trying to help us out. I got to take my hat off to him because he's supposed to get involved. He told me, Joe, let's get involved with these kids in the community.
Yeah.
And I was going to go back to a little bit of the personal life was going on out there in the world because what happened with that shooting a month ago in Florida, you know, we have to do something about that. And one thing about Peter Wilson and his assistant, Barbara, who's just want to get involved so much to help us out. And, you know, you're talking about fighters that are doing great in boxing and whatnot, but we got to get our community, our kids, also to do great in life as well.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, let's keep on talking about what we see in the future of boxing right now.
Well, that's a good question, because I got a question for you. With all this talk about the Lomachenko, first of all, congratulations to both Bob Arum and Golden Boy for getting this fight done. There was a lot of confusion with it. They also had to deal with the networks, HBO, ESPN. There was a lot of stuff to have to navigate to get this Linares and Lomachenko fight to happen, and it happened. And I didn't think it was going to, so my hat's off to them. But, after the Linares fight, given that Lomachenko's got he's starting to get the numbers. People are starting to watch him. He's starting to get the fan base. He's already got the legend, you know, behind him. Where does he go from here? Does he move up to fight those? I mean, because who else is there down there in that division? 130, wherever he's at, 130?
Yeah, 130. Well, you know, I think that these fighters that are coming up in weight like this, they have some difficulty sometimes trying to make money because who else is there? I mean, where can Lomachenko really go?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, he may have to settle being on the lower tier as far as the purses are concerned. He's not going to make the money that the welterweights or middleweights, heavyweights, he's not going to be in that league. You know, it's just unfortunately all the talent that he has, he's outstanding.
He is.
But he doesn't have that. He doesn't have the body for it to go all the way.
Yeah, he's getting a fan base behind him, but I mean, until he has a real signature fight, I mean, who's his best guy he's fought? Salido? And he beat him.
Salido, yeah, he beat him. Salido, I think he's seen his better days.
Oh, Salido's not, yeah. He retired after that. I mean, I don't know if he'll stay retired, but he said he was retired after his last fight.
Yeah, I hope he does because we know these fighters that have all this great talent, but there's a time in life when they have to get ready to pack it in and just say goodbye to boxing. But there is...
Like Manny Pacquiao?
Yeah, yeah. Manny Pacquiao, man, he 8-time world champion. Come on, what else do you want?
I have no idea. I don't even know why he's still fighting. I mean, the guy's got 6 careers. He's got a million other things he's doing.
He can play basketball. He can sing.
He does play basketball.
He's a congressman.
Yeah. He's a senator now. Like, he's literally like an actual senator.
Yeah.
Why is he still doing this? What does he have to prove?
I think what he got to prove is that he got to go back.
He don't want to be at home.
And maybe become a president of the Philippines.
Dude, but what does he have to prove in boxing? I don't understand why he's still training.
If I was his advisor, manager, or something, I would say, listen, Manny, you gave us a good run.
Yes.
You know, thank you so much. And go out while you're still on top of your game. You still have your faculties all together.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you know, ruin your life. And the promoters And the networks got to realize this well and say, you know, they're trying to push him on in a nice way, but.
Well, yeah, man, but he still makes as much money. I mean, he's still top 10 in earnings for boxers today. Like, people still pay for his fights, so it makes sense why the networks aren't doing it. But
yeah,
if you're his team, if you're him, like, you got to just go, you know what? But what more does he have to prove? His best days are behind him. He knows that.
Yeah, I guess he is. It's, you know, it's in your blood, I guess. When you're a fighter, yeah. You're always a fighter.
They
love the fame. They love the
the
glory, and of course, you know, the money comes in handy.
Yeah, the money does come in handy. I don't think he needs it, but
I hope he doesn't need it.
I've heard that, but I just don't believe it. He's made so much money, man.
Yeah, but he's always giving money away from what I understand.
Yeah, he does give a lot of money away, yeah.
And it's good to give some away, but you know, you gotta take care
of
yourself.
He's earned a lot. Yeah, I think, remember we heard all that stuff about him a while back. I think he doesn't want to go home some days, so he just goes back to the gym and he just keeps training.
I don't know. You know, you have Floyd Mayweather, the same thing. You know, they say, is he retired or not retired? That guy made $1 billion. Yeah. $1 billion.
He's retired.
Come on.
He had something more to prove to go to 49-0 for Rocky Marciano. I understood that. He had something more to prove after his first retirement when he came back to fight a few other people, because they said that, you know, he said he fought everyone and he quit. And then they said, well, you haven't fought this guy, Cotto and Pacquiao and Hatton. And he goes, okay, I'll come back. And he fought those guys. And then at 50, you know, when he did the 51, that was just a $300 million payday for a sparring match. I don't blame him for doing that.
Well, you know, he fought that Conor McGregor.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And as you well know, you know, I trained McGregor.
Yes, you did.
Under rules on boxing, but I fight McGregor made a cool $100 million.
Yeah, I think they're both done. I think there's a certain level of money where you just stop.
I mean, Mayweather made $300 million
for
that fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even a real fight. It was like a mismatch.
Exactly.
It was a UFC MMA guy against
He fought a guy in his pro debut. I mean, think how crazy that is. Made $300 million doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But now here you got McGregor made $100 million. And he never fought in the ring before.
Hey, let me ask you. Anybody else that's fighting right now outside of Manny Pacquiao, because he's already done it, every other fighter that we talk about on the show, do you think any of them will make as much in their career as Conor McGregor made in one fight?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so because who's going to get $100 million?
No, I don't either. I don't think so.
I mean, that's like once in a life. That's like a freaky thing that happened.
It is.
I mean, it was crazy.
It was. We all remember it.
And on top of that, I mean, I was training McGregor.
Yeah.
I mean, who would ever thought I'd be training Conor McGregor for a fight like that?
Well, you taught him how to hit the back of the head, right? You were the one that taught.
I told him, you know what? Bite his two ears off.
Yeah, you tell him bite his ears off. They let that happen in the sport.
Oh, man, but he surprised the whole world with what he did. Because
he looked good.
I mean, he won the first three or four rounds.
Yeah, he landed an uppercut. They put on a show. he should be happy.
I'm surprised that it went 10 rounds.
Me too.
I congratulated him. I said, listen, you know what? Everybody went away happy because they thought it was going to be a lousy fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, everybody, no matter what, they paid $100 to see it on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And everybody walked away satisfied because he did give them a run. He gave Mayweather a run for his money.
Yeah, and he gave him a show, and it was fun.
Yeah.
I don't think Mayweather was ever in any real danger, but it was still fun either way. You know what I mean? It was fun for both of them. And you know what? The fact that he got stopped before he hit the canvas – gave McGregor fans a little more to talk about. Like, oh, maybe he could have come back. We all know it couldn't have, but it's good for fans, you know.
Even McGregor said, yeah, I don't know why the referee stopped it. I say, hey, come on. Are you kidding me? It was the best thing to happen because now you can walk away with a cool $100 million, and he knows that he has his faculties all together. He really didn't get hurt that much. It was more fatigue than anything else.
It's funny. People said that might be bad for boxing, that show, and it would be good for UFC. But I think it was the other way around, man. Look how much boxing has exploded since then. And look at UFC lost its biggest star because he's not going to fight anymore. He made $100 million.
Right.
Why would he get back in a cage? Like, why would anyone do that?
Yeah. Estamos hablando de Floyd Mayweather con peleo con Conor McGregor. Y la gente está diciendo, ¿cómo es posible que hicieron tanto dinero en ese combate? Conor McGregor se hizo $100 million. Y Mayweather hizo $300 million para ese combate. Eso es algo increíble. Nunca se oye. Escuchar esos números en el boxeo, pero Mayweather logró hacerlo y pensamos que qué es lo que hay después de una carrera como esa. Mayweather dice que ya está retirado, pero todavía está en el gimnasio. McGregor, no saben, hizo $100 millones, ¿qué va a hacer con su dinero? ¿Va a regresar a la MMA o se va a venir para atrás boxeo? ¿Quién sabe? Pero la cosa es que el boxeo está muy bueno en estos momentos, porque pienso que lo que se hay en el boxeo, especialmente con los mexicanos y con los peleadores, los rusos, están trayendo mucho talento al boxeo. Todavía hay mucho que dar en el boxeo. Estamos viendo Puerto Rico, que también tiene unos cuantos boxeadores, unos cuantos campeones. Pero yo pienso, los tiempos de antes, como estaban las peleas de, como de Julio César Chávez contra este Héctor Macho Camacho, con Edwin Rosario, que hay peleas como Julio César Chávez con Pennell Whitaker, con este, who was the other guy that he fought, Bernard Taylor,
Taylor
Chávez, yeah. Fought Taylor.
Oh yeah.
You know, y las peleas de Roberto Duran con, you know, contra Marvin Hagler.
Oh yeah.
Con Sugar Ray Leonard, Hagler con Tommy Hearns.
Mm-hmm.
Son peleas que eran peleas tremendas. Mike Tyson. Yo tuve el honor de hacer 9 peleas de como árbitro de Mike Tyson y varias de Julio, sobre 6 de Julio César Chávez, Manny Pacquiao, Oscar De La Hoya, todas peleas de los buenos. Esos boxeadores, no sé si regresan para atrás en el boxeo. I don't know if those fighters will come back again, those names, top name fighters like that. I mean, there's a few out there, but not like we had it back in the golden.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I think boxing is cyclical. Like, I think it always moves in cycles, and I kind of hope for UFC that it does the same thing, that MMA does the same thing, because we don't know. They've only had one real period of success, so we hope it comes back around. Yeah. But I've always said that boxing is dependent on its stars. Like, it's like Saturday Night Live. People always say Saturday Night Live dies every 10 years, and then we get a whole new group of stars. And so we go, oh, well, these are who our stars are. Well, and then it's exciting again.
Yeah, well, I got another star, like I said before, Peter Wilson. He's a star. He's going out there after these guys. Peter Wilson, man, God bless you always, man, for getting involved in the community, helping out with the kids.
And the best insurance agent in town.
Yeah, yeah.
Wilson, happy to have you on our team, Peter.
Wilson One Insurance is a guy, but Peter Wilson, Peter, you know what? I'm going to get some boxing gloves for you out there, buddy, because you're a fighter.
He is.
And I think you're going to be one of the undisputed champions out
there. He already is to me.
Anyway, let's go to the heavyweight division.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about these guys, but let's go back memory lane.
Memory lane. The Joe Cortez time machine. This is the best part of this is my favorite part of the show.
Okay, you know, I like Rocky Marciano back in the days. But before him, there was great Joe Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Louis was a heavyweight champion of the world.
Joe Louis was, I did a book report on Joe Louis in the second grade.
Right.
And I fell in love with this guy. I swear to you, just the things he went through and the way that America embraced a black athlete for the first time because they were in a war and he was going up against a German and it was a heavyweight champ. The way he had to distance himself from Jack Johnson, who's my favorite athlete of all time, because, you know, he wanted America to embrace him. And the way he just took all that pressure of an entire country, of a whole people, of two peoples, and fought with that and did so gracefully and humbly. And I don't know if we'll ever see another fighter like Joe Louis, man.
Yeah, well, Joe Louis was one of the great ones. He was an American hero. He went into the U.S. Army back in the 40s,
mm-hmm.
and came out and he fought the German, Max Schmeling. Max Schmeling, and that was a fight that I remember Hitler was out there watching,
yeah.
And they were rooting for their fighter, and their fighter ended up knocking Joe Louis out.
Knocked him out the first time.
Yeah, but then the rematch, it was the other way around.
Yeah.
You know,
that was exciting, man. That was, all of America was watching that.
Yeah, then Louis knocked out Max Schmeling.
Yeah.
And I still have a recording of that fight.
Do you?
A blow by blow.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, I have that. One day I'm going to put a little segment out here on the radio station so you guys can listen to it.
Little clip of it.
I'm hablando de los boxeadores del pasado, el peso completo, había un boxeador que se llamaba Joe Louis, en los 1943 era campeón mundial, y eso fue en la época cuando estaba la Segunda Guerra Mundial, that was World War II,
yeah.
y cuando estaban los rusos, los alemanes contra Estados Unidos, y uno de boxeadores, Max Schmeling, noqueó a Joe Louis en una pelea de campeonato mundial peso completo. Entonces la revancha, Joe Louis conquistó su corona noqueando a Max Schmeling en la revancha. But this is, you know, I'm explaining to the fans out here. Somebody, yeah. A lot of them don't even know, they never even heard the names, Joe Louis and Max Schmeling.
Wow.
But, you know, we have to, you know, pass a little bit of history. Then we go on to Rocky Marciano. He knocked out Joe Louis.
Yeah, in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, the old Joe Louis.
It's like mocking. Yeah.
And then after that, you know, after Marciano was there for a while, Then you had Jesse Joe Walcott, Ezzy Charles fighting Marciano. And those are fights that go down the history book as great fights.
Yeah,
you know?
One thing I'll say right now about heavyweight division today, it's not the 70s and it's not the 90s. Mm. But I'll take what we have right now with the rivalry that we have coming up over anything we've had the last 10 years of the Klitschko era. It just wasn't as much fun. You didn't have any real challenges, and now we have a real dream matchup, and I'm excited to see it.
We're talking about the heavyweight division back in the past, and we'll go back into the era now when Muhammad Ali was first Cassius Clay.
Oh, the first golden age.
You know, John, Cassius Clay was an Olympic champion.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he was not a heavyweight champion. He was a light heavyweight champion. For
I did not know that, honestly.
Yeah, we got to check that out, but I'm almost sure he was not a heavyweight champion.
In the Olympics, yeah.
In the Olympics. And
I know he was AAU champion.
Yeah.
He was a Golden Glove champion. He did everything all the way up. Yeah. I mean, he was the man from the kid as a kid.
Yeah. But don't hold me to it, but I don't think he was a heavyweight champion in the Olympics. But before we get off the air, before we get to talking with our about the heavyweight division, we'll clarify that. But I remember Leon Spinks and these guys and Michael Spinks.
Yeah,
they were not. They ended up becoming heavyweight champions in the pros, but in the amateurs, I remember Leon Spinks was.
Hey, you're right. Olympic light heavyweight champion.
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't know that.
See, I also didn't know. That's really interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. See, Muhammad Ali was Cassius Clay, and he was a light heavyweight champion. However, he was a heavyweight in the amateurs in the Golden Gloves when I was fighting. Because in 1960, when I won my first Golden Glove championship, Muhammad Ali fought with the Chicago team against New York, and he was a heavyweight champion. And
really,
yeah.
You were Team New York, right?
I was Team New York, but I was still a novice, so it was my first year. But I didn't participate in that tournament, but we participated in the Golden Glove Championship the same year. It was my first year in the amateurs as a Golden Glove champion. It was Muhammad Ali's Cassius Clay's last year in the amateurs, and then from there he went on to become the heavyweight champion of the world. And
yes, he did.
He didn't, as you know, he turned out to be pound for pound probably one of the greatest heavyweights of all times.
Oh yeah,
at least one of the most popular, because a lot of fans say, dicen que Muhammad Ali en su tiempo era bueno, pero dicen que posiblemente no era el mejor del peso completo, pero era el más popular de todos. He was the most popular of all.
He was definitely the most popular boxer of all time.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah.
And probably one of the most beloved fighters.
He probably the most popular athlete of all time, if we're being honest. Yeah.
I remember when they first didn't like Muhammad Ali, when he refused to go into the military.
Yeah. And a lot of people didn't like him.
A lot of people didn't like that, but, you know, after that, he got he was suspended for 3.5 years.
That is a long time.
In the prime of his career.
That's a long time.
Bro. Yeah. And so then he ended up coming back and making those comeback fights with Ken Norton and whatnot. They were great fights.
You know, he fought Foreman afterwards, right?
Well, yeah, that was later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fought Foreman, and that was in Zaire.
Yeah, when Rumble in the Jungle.
Rumble in the Jungle, and it was Foreman came there where a lot of the Africans didn't like Foreman, even though he's Afro-American himself, but they loved Muhammad Ali. But
that's interesting.
But, you know, George Foreman, when he went to Africa, to Zaire, he was kind of nervous about being out there. So he took a German Shepherd with him. You didn't know that, right?
I didn't.
He had a German Shepherd with him when he got off that plane. And everybody looked at him like, what the hell is he doing coming here with a German Shepherd, you know? But that was in case anybody got wild with him, and he just sicked the dog on him. You know, go get him.
And he just walked around with that guard dog.
Yeah.
And he's a heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah. Well, but he just, you know, I think he was a little nervous.
I would be nervous. You never know, man. You know, you go anywhere new, it's kind of scary. So, especially when you got that kind of heat on you, especially when you're about to fight the most popular athlete of all time, you're like, you know what? I'm going to bring a dog.
Estamos hablando de la pelea cuando Muhammad Ali peleó contra George Foreman en Zaire, África. George Foreman, cuando llegó a África, debajo del avión, traía un perro esos grandes, esos German Shepherds, esos perros alemanos que son bien, bien, bien bravos. German Shepherds, y la gente, ya los africanos lo miraban con. ¿Qué es lo que tú haces? Que, you know, ya no lo querían antes de llegar, él lo sabía y que quería que necesitaba protección extra para evitar cualquier problema. Y Y tuve la pelea contra Muhammad Ali y tenía Muhammad Ali contra las cuerdas toda la noche y al final, what round did he knock him out? Was it in the eighth round, ninth round?
When he knocked out George Foreman?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now.
Anyway, so la cosa es que Muhammad Ali estaba un lo que llama rope-a-dope. Mm-hmm. Estaba contra las cuerdas y cuando estaba contra las cuerdas, estaba tratando de cansar a George Foreman. Y de momento, Foreman ya estaba cansado, ya no podía más con los golpes, estaba cansado y Ali le conectó una combinación, un derechazo, y cayó Foreman a la lona y lo noqueó, que le contaron. Zach Clayton fue referee, le dio el conteo de 10. He gave him a full count.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was in the eighth round. So it was one of the fights, una pelea muy interesante en el peso completo de Muhammad Ali contra George Foreman. George Foreman, ya saben que usted.
George Foreman was 40-0 with 37 knockouts, yeah. 25 years old then.
25 años tiene George Foreman, 40-0, 25 por la vía de knockout. Y ustedes saben, George Foreman es el grill que pues, usamos en la casa, tenemos un grill que para cocinar los hamburgers que se llama George Foreman Grill. Es from George Foreman. Se hizo muchos millones, vendió la compañía. Hace unos 5 o 6 años atrás la vendió por más de 200 millones de dólares.
He's made so much more money from that. It's so crazy.
Yeah, he sold out there for what, over $200 million.
I don't know what the number was, but it was
like
amazing.
200 millones de dólares.
And after he'd already made an insane amount of money. I mean, he made way more from that than he ever would from boxing.
Exactly.
George Foreman Grill.
It was interesting. It was interesting having.
They're pretty good too. I used to have one.
Yeah. I still have one.
You have one still?
He's my friend. Hey, come on.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
I referee 4 of his fights.
Did you have to pay for it?
Nah. Yeah. I think he charged me double. but you know what? Hice la pelea de George Foreman cuando noqueó a Michael Mora. Yo fui a referee de esa pelea. Y me acuerdo que Foreman estaba peleando todos los asaltos. He was losing every round.
Yeah.
George Foreman. En el décimo asalto, en el 10th round, Foreman le metió un derechazo corto y cae Michael Mora a la lona. Yo me quedé sorprendido y todo el mundo, fue un golpe que fue un derechazo que nadie esperaba y cayó a la lona Michael Mora. Yo estaba contándole 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I said, he's not getting up. Le digo, no se va a levantar. 9, 10, fuera, you know, 10 and out. And that was it.
That was it.
And that was George Foreman become the heavyweight champion at the age of 45. Uno de los boxeadores más viejos, el más viejo en la historia, ganar y conquistar la corona de peso completo a los 45
that's
años.
That's a crazy thing, man. He did that. It was crazy. Like, at heavyweight. I mean, that's just nuts at that age.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. That's like our friend Laura Serrano who came back at 44.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. I'm 27 and I'm like, I'm done, like athletically. I can't even imagine.
I still got a little spark in your flesh.
I know. You might come back now. You might come back.
Hey, with all this money on the table, come on.
Yeah, you might. I don't know if you could. I don't know if bantamweight's still in the cards for you.
You might. Maybe I come in as a light heavyweight, 175.
He cruiser.
Anyway, so we're going down memory lane. So we're going down to the other divisions now. They go down to Michael Spinks, but we know he was one of the good ones as a light heavyweight champion.
Oh, yeah.
And he ended up fighting Mike Tyson.
Hey, yeah, who do you think is the greatest light heavyweight of all time?
Well, there was George Foster, who was a sheriff out in, Oklahoma someplace. And then he got Michael Spinks. I would say, but Michael Spinks was probably the greatest light heavyweight champion. He fought them all.
Yeah.
Up until he jumped into the heavyweight division and
jumped into those waters,
and he jumped in there with Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson put him away.
Yeah,
and I think the instructions of the referee was longer than the fight. You know,
well, some referees like to drag out those instructions. You know,
yeah. Well, I remember talking about the fights. I refereed Mike Tyson against Marvis Fraser, Joe Fraser's son.
Really,
and that fight only lasted 30 seconds. And really, my instructions were really longer than the fight.
Well, you drag them out, you know.
30 seconds is nothing. Hey, guys, give me a good, clean fight, protect yourself at all times.
Yeah, so you go on
low punches, watch your headbutt or kidney punches. You'll hit your opponent while he's down. I mean, I was going on.
Yeah.
And I'm fair, but I'm firm. And you know what? And before I know it, Mike Tyson knocked this guy out. I said, wait a minute, man. Why so quick?
Yeah.
The fans like, They were just barely sitting on the seat.
Yeah, they were just getting back. They were like, hurry, hurry, hurry.
They were giving the ticket to the usher.
Yeah, yeah.
And the usher said, yeah, I'm going to usher you out of here. The fight is over.
The fight's over. You got to go. It's
la
time
pelea,
to go.
La pelea de Mike Tyson cuando peleó con Marvin Fraser. Yo fui el árbitro de esa pelea en Nueva York. Y me acuerdo que Mike Tyson, la pelea, las instrucciones mías fue más larga que la pelea, porque la pelea solamente duró 30 segundos de primer asalto.
I never heard of Marvis Frazier. Did he fight before? I mean, was he any good? Or
yeah, he was okay. You know, he was not a big contender, but he was up and coming and being a Joe Frazier's son. And
it's weird how with father-son groups, like great, like fighters who were really good and then their son fights, like really good, like the top tier. Like if you look at like Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. or Eubank Jr. or Marvis Frazier or these guys like that who dads were top tier, they're not always, I mean, they're good, but they're usually not, you know, I can't think of any one of them that was, but then when you have fathers who were journeymen, kind of like Floyd Mayweather or like certain guys like that where they really shine, you know what I mean? It's kind of different. I can't think of any father-son duo that were both top tier like that.
No, top tier, not really.
You it's kind of strange.
You don't find many like that.
No, you don't. But it could go the other way. Like I said, sometimes the dad was you know, pretty good, but the son is great. And sometimes it's the other way around, but they're never both great.
Yeah, and I can never really think of anybody right now.
Yeah, me neither.
In my recollection, I cannot think of anybody that has won the father and son.
Both all-timers, no.
I mean, you have brothers.
Yes.
You have brothers that have been a two-time, champions.
Yeah, look at the Klitschko's. Yeah.
You got the Klitschko's, and right now you got the Charlo brothers.
Yeah, we don't talk about that much on the show, but they're really good, Jermell and Jermall.
Yeah.
And Eddie Hearn just proposed some double headline fight with the two of them. I think one of them is going to fight Kell Brook, and one of them is, it doesn't matter, because it's not signed yet, but when it is, we'll announce it, because it does look exciting. I'd like to see both of them on the same card. The world needs to know more about those two. They're good.
Absolutely, you know. They're not as good as Peter Wilson.
No, they're not as good as Peter Wilson. Nobody.
Peter Wilson goes out there and knocks him out. He's like, I'm going to knock all these.
Yeah, Peter Wilson. He's a one-punch KO artist.
Man, the guy from Wilson won his shirt. I mean, he wants to knock out drugs out of the street, the gangs. He wants to get rid of all of that, just like I do.
He wants to get rid of everything that insurance needs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that these kids in the community, los padres allá afuera, tenemos que cuidar nuestros hijos porque tenemos que mantener la escuela, mantenerlo en la escuela, que se gradúen sean buenos, porque mira, las drogas y las gangas, lo que están matando la ciudad de nosotros, la juventud de nosotros, se está dañando. Estos muchachos, ¿qué es lo que pasa hoy en día? Tenemos que tener un programa para que vayan al gimnasio, los padres, que le den buen consejo a estos muchachos. The parents got to get more involved and give their children's more solid advice to keep them on the right track. We're having too many issues, and I want to try to do something with the Clark County School District to see if we can set up some kind of a program where each classroom can have a little team. I want to create kind of a cadet type of a program to have these five or six cadets in each classroom so they can share any issues that may be happening in the class, in their private lives. Outside, they can hear that these kids got carrying a gun in school out there, they're thinking about committing suicide, but they're doing things. Maybe we have a little group in each classroom, they can get together at the end of the week and discuss these issues and catch it before it gets to a major situation like happened in Florida. So I think if we get a cadet program in the classroom, get five kids, one of them is a captain of each classroom, then each classroom, they have a team captain. At the end of the week, they all get together, discuss any issues that they may have to report. But if there's any emergency that has to be reported, they do it right on the spot. But at least we get to know about it because los muchachos en la escuela tienen problemas y nadie sabe. Pero si tenemos un grupito, unos cadetes en cada salón que pueda, como cuatro o cinco, y ellos oyen un problema que tengo uno de sus colegas, pues un estudiante, pues podemos tratar de ayudarlo. Si sabemos que tiene un arma de fuego o se quiere tiene malas intenciones, se lo puedan reportar al capitán del salón y así en la escuela completa, pues todo el mundo en todas las clases pueden hablar una vez a la semana a ver si hay una situación, algo de emergencia lo atacamos en el momento, pero la cosa es tener un grupito en cada salón, like five students in each classroom. You know, that can do that. We can report that. They get that through all Clark County. And I hope somebody's listening out there. you know, please quote Joe Cortez. I'm fair, but I'm firm. And I'm talking about these kids. I want to be make sure these kids are fair and taken care of in a firm way.
Yeah.
You know, because the parents are not doing the thing. Some parents, they are great parents out there, but there are so many the kids that are just going wild. They're in the streets. There's something is not right.
Yeah.
Okay, John, we were just talking about the heavyweight division and whatnot, but, you know, there's another division that has a lot of talent, and we have some problems there, and we're talking about the middleweight division. We're
talking
about Canelo Alvarez, who's fighting Gennady Triple G Golovkin.
Yes, sir.
And that's a Cinco de Mayo here in Las Vegas. Estamos hablando de los pesos completos, pero ahora vamos a cambiar el tema. Vamos a hablar de los pesos medianos. Vamos a hablar de Canelo Alvarez contra Gennady Golovkin, esta pelea para el 5 de mayo aquí en Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Y hay un problema con los tests.
Yes, sir.
Los exámenes que están haciendo de prueba de drogas y eso, y Canelo salió positivo.
Yeah.
You tell us a little bit about that, John.
Well, he tested for clenbuterol, which is present in contaminated meats. It happens a lot. People have been come up for it in Mexico before. There's a lot of issues with the way that meat is processed and packaged in Mexico. And so a lot of times you'll have situations where it'll be put into the cows to make them retain water. They get more money per pound for the meat. And that's an issue that's gone on for a long time. Now, on the other side, you have people saying, well, how come he's never been popped for it before if it's so prevalent? How come no other boxers in Mexico have ever been popped for it that we've heard of? But like I said, this is it's a low trace amount. So it's kind of one of those situations where we're kind of just going to let it play out. Hopefully it stays clean the whole rest of the time. And we know that there's not really going to be anything coming out of this. It was such a low amount, and as long as everything stays clean the whole rest of the way, then we hope that it doesn't overshadow what is undoubtedly the most expected fight of the year. This was our fight of the year in 2017. It might end up being the fight of the year in 2018, but it's definitely going to be the biggest fight of the year. So, I mean, we just hope that it doesn't overshadow it like the certain judges' scorecard did last time, and we just wanted to, you know, you got to address it because it is the sport, but at the end of the day, it's just business as usual, probably.
Right, estamos hablando del problema de Canelo Álvarez contra este Triple G Gennady Golovkin, que salió positivo con la droga clenbuterol, y pienso que un daño para el boxeo, porque los fanáticos no quieren ver, y creen que están haciendo cosas contra las reglas del boxeo, y es un problema que hay que ha pasado en años anteriores con otros deportes en México y en la China, el mismo problema, y es que lo que están poniendo en la comida, y eso le está afectando, o sea, el deporte cuando salen positivos, y los fanáticos pues no están muy contentos con los resultados y creen que están haciendo algo para tratar de ganarle a Golovkin. Y yo creo que Canelo, yo siempre digo que nadie es culpable hasta que sea probado, y yo pienso que él no tiene, eso fue algo que fue fuera de su control. Uno puede comer un bistec en cualquier lugar que haga esa cosa en la comida que le puede afectar, y le salió positivo. Yo creo que Canelo no es ese tipo de persona. Yo creo que aquí al 5 de mayo ya eso está fuera de su sistema. Él está entrenando actualmente en Colorado para su preparación para este combate. Yo creo que no va a haber más problemas con eso. Pero están haciendo investigación todavía. Yo creo que de aquí unas semanas, dos semanas más, lo van a encontrar todo limpio y van a dejarle ileso. Pero tienen que tener mucho cuidado a donde están comiendo. Y eso le puede ser a cualquier atleta en cualquier país, pero especialmente está pasando mucho en México. Y ya sabemos. So we know, John, that we have to, you know, be careful. Like I said, the athletes have to be careful. You know,
yes.
Where they're eating and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially in Mexico.
Especially in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. Because we don't want to.
Because you don't want this kind of speculation over your record.
No,
you don't want this kind of speculation over, you know what I mean, over your performance in any way. It's just not worth it.
Because if he wins, they're going to say, well, he won because he did.
Exactly.
You know? So I think that it's not a fair thing. I don't think it's fair to Canelo. Canelo's been a clean fighter. He's never tested positive for anything. You know, it's a black eye for boxing.
Yeah, anytime this stuff happens, it's a black eye for boxing. Yeah. So
or for any sport.
Yeah, it's something we have to address. But it's not something that we want to dwell on because, let's be honest, it's not that much fun. And it was not, it's not a test like we've had in the past where you know what it is. So I think, you know, you address it and then you move on.
Exactly. Well, what I want to say is that you fans out there listening to us, lo que están escuchando la estación, sabemos que todas las semanas estamos aquí los sábados de 10 a 11 de la mañana. Y nos queremos mucho el boxeo y queremos que ustedes estén con nosotros siempre. Cualquier pregunta que tengan, nos puede llamar a 702-876-1087 y le damos cualquier información que quieran. La tenemos, se la damos. Hey, guys, remember, I'm fair but I'm firm. Keep them up. This is the end of the show, guys. We'll see you next week.